We're ending and wrapping up a series that we're in entitled Camp, I Want to Be Here. One of the things that we've looked at in this series with camp is maybe you grew up going to camp and it might have been a kid's camp or maybe it was a youth camp or something like that. Maybe it was even Quest Camp. But you grow up and you go to a camp and the camp makes this huge impact in your life. And only to find that when the camp is over, life goes back to normal. Life goes back to mundane. Life goes back to average. All the great experiences that we get at camp are so important, and yet we kind of, after camp, go back to how we used to be. What we're talking about in this series is how camp and church are so similar. And where we get put in a situation in these environments where we get to experience something great. And it's not for that to just be a seasonal event, but it's something that is supposed to be carried out. So at camp, the thing that makes camp so great is it's a shared experience with other people. That's important. What makes a church so great is it's a shared experience with other people. And without that shared experience with other people, it's not as great. Another thing that makes camp so great is camp always pushes us out of our comfort zone. And the same with church. Church and your faith, God will always lead you out of your comfort zone. But it's up to us if we take that step. It's up to us how we function in that. It's a personal experience. It's a personal reflection. Your experience at camp, your experience at church directly reflects you personally. Because you either are a person that's afraid to take a step out of your comfort zone, or maybe you just keep people at arm's distance, and it affects your experience. I mean, you can be at a great camp, and in this great camp, you can have all the games that they could ever create, and you could still be bored out of your mind because you refuse to participate. You can be at a great camp and be surrounded by hundreds of friendly people and still live in isolation. It's the same with church. What makes the Quest great is this opportunity that we have to have relationship with people, to love people and be loved by people, to experience God and lead others to experience God, to help people and be helped by people. And it's only when we get involved in the life of the church, when we take these steps, that we really experience a life-changing experience for our lives. Now, this past week, we had Quest Camp. Something that always happens every year at Quest Camp is, as camp is ending, most everybody's gone, we're checking out, we're driving out, and I always get bummed as I'm driving out, because as I'm driving out, I pass campsite after campsite that's empty. Now, empty campsites don't bum me out, but what does bum me out is the relationships that are attached to those empty campsites. In other words, this, you know, as I'm driving away, I pass the Schubers campsite, and I think, man, I love the fact that at 7 o'clock in the morning when I couldn't sleep, I got up and I went to Schubers campground and had coffee with Jerry and Katrina. We got to sit right over there. That was a great time. I look over at another camp, and it's like, man, we got to play washerboards over there, and I got to school people. That was a lot of fun. You start recounting all these things that you got to experience, but they're all tied to people. And that's why it bums us out. Basically, you come to a place where you're saying, you know what, camp is over and I can't reenact it. And you're left with a memory. Now, here's the deal, and this is the first thing on your handout if you want to write it in. Memories can create a fondness with the past. The warm fuzzies that you get with these memories are not a bad thing. The problem is that you can memorialize them, so to speak. And what you can do is you end up saying this, man, we'll never be able to duplicate that again. We'll never be able to experience that again. It becomes such a great experience that we can never touch that again. And basically what happens is we stop trying. Another part about memories is memories can inspire new behavior. That is where God wants to help us with. Memories can inspire new behavior. Great experiences are not designed just to fill a scrapbook or a photo album. Great experiences move us in a new direction. They inspire us to live differently. They create new behaviors in our lives. Here's what Paul says. Paul says this, I've been crucified with Christ and I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and the real life I now have within this body is a result of my trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He's talking about an old life versus a new life, and the new life causes him to live differently. It's based on new behaviors. And you can't come into a relationship with old behaviors and think that you're going to have new experiences. It can't happen. And if we're going to experience a new behavior in our lives, it has to come from the new life that God gives us. And this new life will always take you in a new direction. It will not keep you where you're at. It will not keep you in a mundane kind of environment where you're never challenged. And that's the thing that we've got to really get. When you're at camp, you're always challenged. There's new people around all the time. There's new experiences around all the time. You're sleeping in bunk beds with people that you would not normally sleep with. Not that you're sleeping with them, but you know what I mean. So you get in these environments, and it constantly pushes you out of this comfort zone. God wants to take you in a new direction. And this new direction is going to require that we depend on Him. So if we're going to have new behavior for a new direction, then what does that look like? We're going to recap this series and what we've looked at. And I'm going to remind you as we end it today. Because the reason why we're doing this series is because we want our church to be different. We don't want to just be mundane. We don't want to just be average. We don't want to just go through the motions. That's not the life that God called us to. When God put it on our heart to plant this church, that's not what God called us to do. He wanted us to be a church that had an exciting experience with Him and a life that was a reflection of that experience with Him. So how do we get this new behavior for a new direction in our church? First of all, it's this. We need a new focus for life. A new focus for life. No longer getting our direction from our culture. We no longer are self-centered. We're not the ones calling the shots. We've signed the pink slip of our lives over to Jesus. We have now a new focus and a new purpose for every day. And there's a scripture in Hebrews 12 that tells us this. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race that we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. In other words, we make Jesus not just the focus of Sunday, but we make Jesus the focus of every day of our lives. If you ever do that, if you make Jesus the focus of every day of your life, nothing will ever be the same for you. Nothing. Here's another behavior that we need, a new person for direction. We need a new focus for life and a new purpose for direction. And this is where God has the agenda for our lives. He sets it. And we need to relax and let God lead us. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to take us where He wants to go. We talked about in this series how when you're off to go into camp, you get on a bus and there's a bus driver. And that bus driver doesn't say, hey, where do you want to go? He knows where he's taking you. And that bus driver knows how to get there. And all we have to do when we're going to camp and we're on that bus is just sit there and trust that this bus driver is going to take us where he wants us to go. And in our lives, it's the very same way. We have to trust the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct us where he's taking us, not setting our own agenda, but allowing him to set the agenda and then following his lead. So we don't take our lead from a culture that's not following God. We don't take our lead from people who don't have a relationship with God. God will always lead us when we allow Him to, but trust me on this, when God leads, He will always take you out of your comfort zone. Be ready for that. And trust it. It's a good thing. Here's a scripture in Galatians 5:25. Since we are living by the Spirit, since we have received this life, this new life by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Not just one area, the whole thing. So we start thinking about things that please God. We start living our lives in a way that pleases God. Another behavior we need is this, a new perspective for sharing. I talked about this at the beach last week, and I'm going to mention it again, just for all of us, because I know some of you were unable to be there. But we talked about how at camp you get a care package, usually sent from home, people that love you, and they send you this box. And it's a mystery box because you don't really know what's in it. But man, when you get it, it's like you won the lotto. And in this box, when you get that during mail call, you have different responses. Excuse me. You have some that are like 007. They get their box and mysteriously disappear. Then you have some people that are like Gollum on Lord of the Rings, and they're paranoid, and it's my precious, and they think everybody is out to get their box, and they keep everybody at arm's distance. And then you have some people like Oprah, and that's like, you get some, and you get some, everybody gets some, and they share it. Now, I'm not saying be like Oprah, but what I am saying is this. When you get your care package, everything that you have in your life is from God. It's His care package to you. How do you handle what's been given to you? Do you hoard it? Do you protect it? Is it just used for you? Or are you one of the people that's like, hey, you get some and you get some and everybody gets some? We all have different ways that we live, but the way that God wants us to live is He wants to give us a new perspective on sharing, and it's called generosity. It's not where we're just looking after our own needs. It's where we're looking after the needs of our church. We're looking after the needs of people in the church. We're looking after needs of people in our community. But it's out of that heart of generosity. And that's the other issue in this generous perspective is generosity is a heart issue, bottom line. Your generosity, my generosity, reflects our hearts. And that's why God is wanting to build generosity into our lives, because it's a heart that reflects His activity. God is generous, and He wants His kids generous. And so that's a thing that we learn. And listen, some people are able to just jump in head first into generosity. Other people have to take small steps. And what I'm saying is develop some kind of a plan where you can take steps to being generous, because it is a heart issue. It will change your perspective. It will change your life, and life will become more reflective of what God is trying to build in you. Here's another behavior we need, a new passion for people. New passion for people. God is calling us, as we talked about, a life that is shared with others, but it's more than just including others. It requires a new passion for people. In fact, it's a passion that is reflected in the passion of Jesus, that Jesus has for people. In fact, you can make it even more personal. The passion that God wants us to have for people is the passion that He has for you. And you might think, there's no way I can do that. And I would say this, you're absolutely right. That's where you have to rely on God. That's where you have to rely on the Spirit leading you, the Spirit working within you. That means we make our time and our talents and our treasures available to help people and to connect people to Jesus. And I want to read a scripture in Romans 15 that says, those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter, and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? How can I help? Not what can I afford to do, not what should I do, how can I help? That becomes a mindset of generosity. Another behavior we need, lastly, is this, a new purpose for becoming like Jesus. A new purpose for becoming like Jesus. I don't know who you're becoming, but listen, who you are becoming is significant. And I want you to hear me on that. Who you are becoming is important, because God is a part of shaping us in what He wants us to be. In fact, He already has a goal for who He wants you to be, who He wants me to be. It's not our agenda to say, oh, I want to be like this person, or I want to be more like that person. God says, I created you uniquely, and I created you with a purpose, and I want you to be who I want you to be. Scripture in Romans 8:29 that we've read that I want to remind you, it says this, for from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to Him, and all along He knew who would, should become like His Son. If you ever wonder what God's will is for your life, a part of that will is that God wants you to become like His Son. We're all in the process of becoming. We're all being shaped and formed. Transformation is not only God's specialty, it's His goal for your life. And if we just sit dormant, if we just sit and we're like, you know what, I'm good with just coming. I'm good with the mundane life. I'm good with just kind of blending in. I'm good with just hanging out. I don't need this great experience. We're not becoming what God designed us to become. Not only are we not experiencing what He wants us to experience, we're not being shaped into what He wants us to become. This means we have to intentionally take steps to follow Jesus in our life, to live like Jesus lived. It's why we encourage all of us to visit our next steps table so that you're taking steps from where you are to where God wants you to be. It's all a part of God shaping us and molding us. I mean, even when you become a follower of Christ, the very first thing that Jesus asks, the very first step of obedience is a step of baptism. And that is a part of this shaping process. We don't get baptized because we're hot, we want to cool off. We're baptized because we're identifying ourselves with Jesus. And we are so proud and we celebrate with people that take these steps.
About 2 weeks before I started working here at the Quest, I began the search for an apartment. And if that wasn't stressful enough as it is, as many of you know, I'm currently in a relationship, I'm dating somebody, and I fully believe that that is the person I'm supposed to spend the rest of my life with, and that I will marry her. So, I'm also looking for an apartment that will someday be suitable for my future spouse. The stress level just went way up. And it's looking for specific conditions, right? That's what you look for in an apartment. You have a list of everything that you're looking for. I made that list, you know, 2 bedrooms, at least 1 bath. I need a bathroom. I wanted, you know, at least a laundry area. Didn't have to be inside the apartment, but at least in the area so I'm not having to go and drive somewhere. That was pretty much all my conditions. My girlfriend's, however, a lot more. Needed to be in a safe area. Okay, all right, I get that, you know. I'm willing to live anywhere. She needed to be a safe area. And there was a couple other things, but the big one was needed to be pet friendly because she has a cat. I hate cats. So I'm trying to find this place. And so I go online, I start looking at all the different options, and I make a list of every place that kind of I see online. I make some calls that might fit those conditions. And then I go. I drive all the way over here. I'm staying at Jessica's grandmother's place for the weekend, so I have a base of operations to come back to. And I drive into the city every day, and I just go down that list. And the first place I go to, I think it was called Lionsgate, and I drive in, and the manager of the place comes out, and she's wearing Crocs, she has curlers in her hair, and she's smoking a cigarette. I'm like, I don't think this is the place for me. I keep looking. I go different places. I go to some places and I'm going, okay, this is all right. I go to some places. I'm like, not even getting out of the car. I'm just going to keep on driving. And I'm going through and I find one place that's like, oh, this is fantastic. I mean, it has everything. Look at the price. All right, time to move on. All right. And I find one place kind of close to River Park. It's a good deal. It's a little pricey. It's River Park. But it's got everything I need, and I am just running out of options. So I'm like, you know what? I have got to take this risk. I'm just going to, I'll take it. I'll sign it. Let's do it. I'll put the deposit down and go from there. There's one other place on my list, and to make this even more, you got to understand, so many things going into this, so many things. My girlfriend lives in Kingsburg. I'm working in Fresno. It's a bit of a difference, a bit of a drive. I would love something smack dab in the middle. There's not that many places smack dab in the middle, though. So I'm trying to find it, and I find this place in River Park, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go for it. But there's one other place on my list, and it's in Selma. You know what? What have I got to lose? I'll go check it out. I've already committed. I put my deposit, but let's go and check it out. And I go in, and I see the manager, and it's a nice place, but it's low-income house. It's low-income apartments. I don't qualify. I make too much money, whatever that means. And I'm like, well, I guess that's a bust. And she goes, well, listen, if you're looking for something that you might qualify for, there's this place, it's called Nielsen Properties. Why don't you go check it out and see? It might have something. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. And so I go to that office and I walk in, and in there, they're all at work, you know, everybody, the property managers. And there on the in the wall is this board, and it has all the properties that they're trying to fill. And the top one is this place that's right down the street. It's in a great area, and I'm looking at it going, and I see 2 bed, 2 bath. I'm like, what's the price? The price was sweet. Let's go check it out. Go in. It's got washer-dryer hookups. It's a fireplace. I look at her, and I go, is it pet-friendly? Yes, it is. Dang. Let's do this. I went to the other place. I lost some of the deposit, but I signed up with this, and in 2 weeks, I moved in. That was from God. But the key to making that happen was I needed a plan. I needed to have a strategy to figure out what I was going to do. And as we're wrapping up this series, as Pastor Dave just recapped everything, I want to ask you something. How many of you have been inspired over the last few weeks of what you've heard? There's been some amazing topics that we've covered. And I don't know about you, I've been inspired. But in order to apply, there's a couple things we need to do. And I have 2 points for you today as we finish things up. The first one is this: you need to invest in a plan. You need to invest in a plan. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5, it says, "Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty." If I was to paraphrase that, I would say this: if you have a plan, you can succeed. If you don't have a plan, you will lose. Just the bottom line. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you would love to lose weight? I would love to lose weight. Obviously, I have not missed a meal in a long time. I think that's quite obvious. I would love to just go to a gym and make it happen. And I get in these modes like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. Let's just make it happen. 2 months later, nothing happens. Why? Because I didn't have a plan. I didn't go, okay, by week one, I want to do this. Week two, I want to do this. I need to reach this calorie amount. I don't have a plan. I just go for it. I lose. Well, I don't lose, but you get the point. You need a plan. Last week in Morro Bay, Pastor Dave gave a talk about generosity, and it was a good one. And afterwards, I'm going back and I'm driving and I go, I want to be more generous. I want to do more with what God has given me. I want to sign over the pink slip of my life completely, but I want to do more. I want to see God's kingdom grow. How can I make that happen? And at first I'm like, I'm just going to write a check. And then I start thinking about it and going, that might not end well because bills come due. So I start looking at my entire financial plan. I'm like, what can I do? And I start going through expenses. I start looking at ways I could cut back. I start looking at things like Netflix. I love Netflix. I don't really need Netflix. I can go to a Redbox and rent a thing for a dollar and I'll be good. And I'll probably be more productive and my boss will love me for it. I start looking at things like that and I go, how can I cut back? And then I look at and go, okay, everything that's excess, minus my income, minus my expense, what do I have left over? Not a whole lot. But I look at it and go, you know what? I can, on top of my tithe, give $200 more and be generous with that, whether that's giving that to the church or helping somebody in the church. I can do that. I can make that happen. I didn't just instantly come to that $200. I had to have a plan. I've been wanting to increase my prayer life and give more time to God. And I've decided that every morning, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to set 10 minutes on my phone on the timer, and for 10 minutes, I'm just going to say, God, whatever you want to say to me right now, say it. I'm going to give you that time. I have to have a plan. If we want to be more generous, if we want to reach our community, if we want to apply the behaviors that Pastor Dave talked about in our lives, we need to have a plan. There needs to be some kind of formula that says, I'm going to try to reach this goal in this amount of time. Otherwise, it won't happen. But even more key than that is this, and this is my last point. We need a purpose. We need to plan around the purpose. Plan around the purpose. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. We've been given a statement over the last few weeks, but it's so much more than that. It is our vision for this church, and that is to creatively lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. That is so much more than a motivational statement. That is purpose right there. And I had an epiphany. I'm driving, and I'm thinking, I'm getting ready to marry somebody or propose to somebody, spend the rest of my life with them. Part of my job is going to be helping that person to grow. And I look at our vision and I go, that's purpose in my life. To creatively lead my Jessica into a growing relationship with Jesus. I look at my family. It's to creatively lead my family into a growing relationship with Jesus. That purpose needs to go in every aspect of my life. And then and only then will my plan succeed because the purpose is strong enough. Don't have a strong enough purpose, the plan will lose. It will falter. There are some things that we're doing in this church, and I'm so excited for the future, whether it's Meals of Mercy, our kids' ministry, everything. But it all hinges on us making a commitment to plan and participate in those things. If we don't, you get the gist. Today, I want to encourage you, have that purpose. Make this purpose, the vision of this church, your heartbeat. And I guarantee you, you're going to see God bless you in many ways. I look at it as if we talk about tithing, give 10% to God, keep the 90%. Give 10% to God and see him bless the 90% of your life. Give more than that, see him bless the rest. He will bless every single part of it if you just adhere to that purpose. Would you close your eyes with me? I want to end today with this. I want to challenge you. If you have something that God has put on your heart that you want to see happen, that you want to see him succeed in that area, and you just don't know how to necessarily see that happen, but now you know, I need a plan. If you want to see that plan happen, if you want to start to begin making a plan to see that happen in your life, whether that is to go to tithe more, to join our next steps, to join a ministry, whatever it is, I want to challenge you this week to make a plan. If you want to accept that challenge to make a plan, will you raise your hand right now? God bless you. God bless you. Bless you. Put it right up and put it right down. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for each individual here at the Quest. I pray right now that we dedicate our lives to you and seeing your kingdom happen. In this moment, we put forth a plan of action to see your work succeed. In every aspect of our lives, our finances, our personal life, our family life, our everything, every single aspect, we want to see your will happen, and we want to make a plan to make that happen. Thank you for everything you're doing here at the Quest. Thank you for the opportunities to come here and to serve Fresno for you. Bless these people, keep these people, walk with them, protect them, and let them feel your love like they've never felt it before. In your name I pray, amen.